Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hey, welcome to Junk Refund Show. I am very excited. I'm your host, Alan Cook, and I am in Rome, Italy, at the airport, headed back to New York City, and I've got about 3 hours of time, so we're going to record this show an hour early, thanks to our great producer, Don Newsom, on bbsradio.com. I'm really excited to be here and to be doing this show. I have the airport terminal all to myself, and welcome to the Junk Refund Show. So I guess the first question is, what do we do on this show? I am the founder and the owner of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. We named it that because we are a junk removal business that, among all the other things that everybody does, like recycle, junk to junk, and donate stuff, we put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, then you get some money back. And that's where the word refund comes in our name. And we're very proud of that because we've done this for a very long time and have had a lot of success doing it. And we have lots of stories about money that we make for people with stuff that we've sold. So it's 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. We're headquartered in Bethesda, Maryland. We do jobs all over the country. I'll be doing a job in Kansas City, Missouri, actually in Lawrence, Kansas, starting on Monday. And we have done jobs from Seattle to San Diego, from Chicago to San Antonio, and from Maine, let's just say Bangor, Maine, down to Tampa, Florida, and a bunch of places in between. So we've been doing this for quite a while. We have a lot of fun, and it's always interesting to see what you come across in your junk removal efforts. So a couple of things, I'll mention this right off the bat. My birthday was yesterday, which is why I'm in Rome, Italy. Subject number one for the show today will be the importance of celebrating your birthday. I turned 67, and I was born on May 7th. And I was born on a Wednesday. So coincidentally, yesterday was my birthday and yesterday was a Wednesday. And my wonderful mother called me from the United States not knowing where I was. And if there's one place that she would like to go to, she would like to visit our church temple, the Rome, Italy Temple in Rome, Italy. And she is not in the condition where she can make that kind of a trip anymore. So I was going to just call her and surprise her from there because I knew she would love that. But she called me in the meantime. I missed her call, so I called her back. And I said, she always seems to ask me right off the bat, where are you? And she's done this for decades. And she didn't do it this time. And I said, would you like to take a guess where I am? She said, I have no idea. I said, I'll give you a couple of clues. Clue number one is the word cardinals. And clue number two is the word conclave. And that's all I needed to say. And she said, are you in Rome, Italy? And I said, yes, I am. And I had it on a speakerphone. And I had some friends that were listening in at the time to her comments and her calls. And she was so excited that I was in Rome, Italy. So I am here to celebrate my birthday and to make it memorable, which I have been successful in doing, I am one of these guys that will tell you that your birthday every year is a chance to celebrate yourself. And unless you take the initiative to do it, the odds are pretty great that no one else is going to take the initiative to do it for you. So it is a chance to celebrate your birth. And I kind of look at it and go, look what Jesus did with his birthday. I mean, the whole world celebrates that one, right? So it's a good thing to celebrate the fact that you've had another year of life. Doesn't matter how old or young you are, the day that you were born is unique because you are unique. There are no two people in the world that are exactly alike. Even identical twins are not exactly alike. So celebrate your birthday. And I wanted to make this one memorable. And in my quest to go out and visit some of our church temples, which is kind of what I do for a spiritual hobby, the Rome, Italy temple was one of the magnificent ones that we built, sparing no expense. And it is as magnificent as advertised. And it's just been a wonderful trip. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what I did on my birthday, because this is just kind of timely. I looked for airfares to come to Rome from Washington, D.C. We have three airports in Washington, so that's good for consumers. But the round-trip airfares were about $1,000 to get to Rome. One of the advantages of living on the East Coast is that you can shop up and down the East Coast airports like Philadelphia and Newark and JFK and look for fares. And I found a $430 nonstop round-trip airfare on Norse Airways, N-O-R-S-E, whom I have never flown on before. So I then thought, well, that's a big savings. I just have to get up from Washington to JFK. Amtrak has a train ride up to New York, up to basically Madison Square Garden in the middle of Manhattan for $35. So I booked that. I love trains as well. So that was an add-on for my birthday. I love to ride on trains. So I spent $35 to get up to New York. I then took the subway, which was only a couple of dollars, to get out to JFK. And I had a gap of time between the time I landed in New York on the train and the time I took off for Rome on the plane. The plane is going to leave a little bit after midnight. So it's going to be an overnight 8-hour nonstop flight, which was a fabulous flight. And the train, I thought when I booked it, I went for the cheap fare. They're anywhere from $35 to $135. I booked the $35 one, thinking that it left on Tuesday about 1:30 in the afternoon. I don't know where I came up with that idea. It left at about 9:30 in the morning on Tuesday. So I got up to New York at about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I ended up coming in at Penn Station right below Madison Square Garden, which was great fun. And I just grabbed something from a street vendor and had something. I grabbed a corn dog from the street vendor, had something to eat across from Madison Square Garden. And then I just walked about 10 blocks up to the Broadway District and got in line at the tickets, TKTS outlet, where you can buy tickets for up to half price on the day of the show. And I saw a show called Dead Outlaw. I needed a short show because I still had to get from Broadway out to JFK, which is about a 30-minute subway fare. And the check-in, the airline that I'm on, only does check-in at the airport starting 4 hours before the flight. And if you don't get it done by 1 hour before the flight, you are what we call sorry out of luck. So I wanted to make sure that I had that I saw a short Broadway play, and Dead Outlaw was about an hour and 40 minutes. I don't think I had time to do a 2.5-hour or 3-hour regular play, but I was thrilled to see that. So I take a train ride from Washington to New York. I go to a Broadway play. I buy the ticket for half price. I then go to the subway, and I'm out at the airport, and about 12:30 in the morning on my birthday, I take off in a Boeing 787 aircraft, which I have never flown on before. Now, I'm sitting here in the terminal looking at the plane that is going to take me back to New York in about 3 or 4 hours. It leaves around 7 o'clock Rome time. And this is a 787 airplane, one of the biggest commercial planes that they make. And I have never flown on a plane that big, other than the days many years ago when the 747s first came out. This plane has two engines. It is as quiet as can be. I learned that there are 9 seats on each row inside this plane, broken up in 3 different sections. I'm not a big fan of middle seats. I don't necessarily like the window seats because the curvature of the inside of the fuselage cuts off a little bit of space. You get a good view, but I'm all for space and stretching out on these planes. And I just asked them if they can give me an aisle seat, and they said yes. So I had an aisle seat like row 31, something like that. I did some quick math when I got on this baby. It's just a massive inside area on this plane. And I figured there are probably 350 to 400 seats on this plane. And if everybody bought the cheap fare like I did, which they didn't do, if everybody bought the cheap fare, that's $150,000 that this airline is going to take in revenue, not counting the food and other stuff that happens on the flight to Rome. So I did a little math that way. The plane was fairly well packed. What you really hope for is that they put you in a row. There's only 75% of the seats filled. There are a bunch of rows where nobody is sitting in the 3 consecutive seats, and you get to take one of those rows and lie down and sleep most of the way to Rome. That was not the case. So I'm in an aisle seat. Now, I got to tell you, this thing, they have on the back of the chairs of the seats in front of you a TV monitor. Lots of movies, lots of TV shows, stuff that you can watch for free. One of the things they also do is they track the flight, and they give you the stats of the flight, like the altitude and the ground speed and the temperature outside the fuselage and what time you're going to land and et cetera. I was fascinated as I would check in on that monitor during this flight that this Boeing 787 cruises at over 600 miles an hour. The temperature outside the fuselage, just say, you know, 5 or 6 feet from where I was, the temperature right outside the fuselage is a minus 80 degrees. Now think about that. You stick your pinky finger out there for a tenth of a second at 600 miles an hour in minus 80 degrees, and it's goodbye pinky, plus the rest of your hand, I think. But it's amazing, and it's as quiet as can be. You know, you don't hear the rumbling sound of the engines. It's very quiet, and it cruises at 40,000 feet, which is 10,000 feet higher than the top of Mount Everest. So you're up there at 40,000 feet. You're going 600 miles an hour. It monitors exactly where you're going to land in Rome. And it's a fascinating flight experience and is one of the reasons why I keep telling people there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than today. I mean, this is just amazing. I didn't tell any of my family members I was doing this, and I'm one of these guys who I guess has the adrenaline and a little bit of stamina that says, you know what, I'm going to take off, go on a train up to New York. I'm going to take Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday off, but I did a promotion, which I'll tell you about in a minute, so that because it's my birthday and the month of my birthday, I do a special promotion for our junk removal clients, and I advertise it, and then people can go in and buy it in advance, like a Groupon, and my PayPal account keeps getting money coming into it. That's what's happened while I've been gone. So I'm making money while I'm gone. Took a cheap flight to Rome, and doing the show from the terminal right now at the Rome airport. And we're not going to be doing this every week from, you know, international shows, but I'm really grateful we could do it this time because this will be a memorable show. So you travel from New York to Rome, takes 8 hours. You're traveling at 600 miles an hour. You're going to travel 4,500 miles. That is almost a 1/5 of the way around the world. You can't hear the engines. The tint, you know, I expect window shades on these windows. They don't have window shades. They have a little button below the bottom of the window that you apparently push, and it automatically darkens the glass, and that's how it works. No shade going up and down. So you can you can adjust how much light is coming in through these windows. And then for those people that, ordered a meal, they have very nice meals you can get, and people are getting meals, you know, delivered to them on the flight and everything else. And it's just an amazing experience. You know, and they were very kind to me because I'm sitting in the aisle seat. I tend to like, with my 6'3" frame, I tend to like a little bit of extra space. When I fly domestically on Frontier and some of the other airlines, but particularly Frontier, I fly cheap, but I get to board the plane first. I get the exit row. Many times there's nobody next to me. I have plenty of leg room, you know, and it's great. On this flight, it's an 8-hour flight, so on the way over from JFK, you know, I asked one of the stewards, is it okay if I just stand up in the aisle where I am? And they said, sure, just, you know, keep an eye out if anybody's, you know, coming by you. That's fine. So maybe a fourth of the flight, maybe a third of the flight, I actually just stood up in the aisle and stretched my legs, which felt good. I envied those people that are a little shorter than me, that can just put something over their head and fall asleep sitting there in the seat. I sat next to two people who could do that. That's a little harder for me to do. I like my space, especially on an airline. But anyway, it worked. We landed in Rome 2:30 in the afternoon yesterday, and I couldn't quite believe that I was in Rome. And it was my birthday. On the day of the week, Wednesday, that I was actually born back in 1958. And so I took a cab, tried to do an Uber, but it just basically sends you to a taxi based on where I needed to go. I had to go to the other side of the city. I was trying to get there for a 4:30 appointment in this temple that we have. I paid $90 for a cab ride. And I've learned not to do that since then. But anyway, I did that. They took me over, and I had this spectacular place that I was able to go and visit. One of the cool things is that if you are what we call a patron, if you're visiting there, you're kind of a customer or a visitor to that place, they have housing. They have free housing for you. So I don't need a hotel room. I did that online, just sent them an email. They sent me an email back about 24 hours later confirming that I could stay there last night. And what they do is you feel like you're in a kind of a college dorm again, because they put you in a room. There are four beds there, bunk beds, and I was with a guy from Egypt and a guy from Canada and a guy from Helsinki, Finland, and me. And you know, there's a shower and bathroom and stuff like that. You just have twin beds, but it's free. And there's no deposit made, nothing like that. So I got free accommodations, which is rare when I go out and do some of these visits. So that was great. Last night, I went and took a tour of some of the facilities that we have there. This spectacular building made of granite and Italian marble, and it's a little bit of a unique design. And when we build one of these things, we spare no expense. We really do it right. The wood that is in this building came from Nigeria. And we built a little visitor center where the public can come in and learn a little bit about what we're doing. And it had some spectacular stuff inside there, which I'll tell you about in just a minute. But I was just thrilled that I could take a train ride for $35 up to New York. I could see a Broadway play. I could spend a couple of bucks on the subway to get out to JFK. Then they put me on one of the world's finest commercial airlines. 8 hours later, I'm in Rome. And now the adventure really starts, because I'm there to see all this fun stuff going on. So that's the first part of the trip. And I'll tell you more about it when we come back. We're going to take a break for about a minute. And we will talk about, you know, some junk removal and junk stuff that happened actually while I was on this trip. But you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, talking to you from Terminal 31. I think it's E31 at the Rome Airport, where in about 3 hours I hop on one of the newest, biggest commercial airliners, And at somewhere around midnight tonight, maybe it's even, no, I think it's 10:30 tonight, I will be back at JFK Airport in New York. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show, coming to you live from Rome, Italy.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, coming to you live from Rome, Italy, at the Rome Airport. We're in about 3 hours. I'm going to hop on a plane and fly back to JFK. In a whirlwind 2.5 to 3 day trip. I was just telling you a little bit about the trip and what's going on and why I do this. I'm a big believer in celebrating your birthday. That's why I'm doing this. I wanted my birthday this year to just be a memorable birthday, and boy, did I score in that regard. I will always, for the rest of my life, remember my 67th birthday. You know, when I was on my 60th birthday, I went to Merida, Mexico. But I can't tell you what I did my 62nd, 63rd, 64th birthday. But for the rest of my life, if you ask me what I did when I turned 67, I'll just refer you to this show, really, because I'll launch into a great story. And I really think that's a smart thing to do in life, to celebrate your life and your individuality and do something outside the box that you wouldn't normally do, right? I just think that's a really smart move because you give yourself a memory that you can hold on to for the rest of your life. It adds to your self-esteem. It adds to your faith. It adds to those occasions where you can say, I did it, which I think are three of the most powerful words, on earth. And it's fun. So let me just kind of, I'll try to chronologically take you through here. I landed here on this amazing airline, a Boeing 787 jet. If you haven't flown on one of those babies, you might want to try that sometime on Norse Airways. When we checked in, and by the way, I don't know much about Norse Airways, N-O-R-S-E Airways, other than that I've flown on them once and I'm about to fly on them again. And you can't check in online. I bought the ticket through kayak.com. I had a round-trip nonstop airfare to Rome for less than half of what you would normally pay for it. I paid $430. The rates at the time from Washington, D.C., to Rome were about $1,000, and it just has been a fabulous time. It's been such a fun thing. So I get over here. I go to the new Rome, Italy temple, which was actually completed back, I think, in 2019. It's a spectacular thing. You can Google it and just take a look at the building. We really did this upright, and it's a magnificent structure. Stained glass all over the outside of the building and the inside, just some marvelous things that we've done. But I come over here to visit that temple, and then I'm also thinking, well, I'd like to see a couple of things in Rome while I'm here. But again, just the point of celebrate your birthday and then do something outside the box that just makes it really memorable that you'll always remember that particular year. I've decided that I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. Every birthday is going to be something spectacular. And I only planned this one, 48 hours ago or something. I didn't really plan this one much earlier, maybe a week ago I planned it. But I love kayak.com to find cheap airfares. I'm here in Rome in the airport right now, and I land, and I, because I'm here to basically do a couple of hours of church service is a good way to say it. We have a facility here where they have what's called patron housing, and you simply just send them an email, tell them what day you'll be here, and they will put you up in a dorm room type of thing, shower, you know, pillows, it's bunk beds, that kind of, you feel like you're back in college. And so that's where I stayed last night, and it was just fine. One of the guys that was in the room, I don't remember if it was a guy from Egypt or the guy from Canada, could snore like nobody's business. But other than that, it was just fine. I got up this morning, I took a shower, I got dressed, I walked, you know, a few hundred yards to the entrance of this magnificent temple, and went inside there for about 2 hours, came back outside, did a little bit more touring in our visitor center there of some spectacular things. They have, just for an example, it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. And when you go into this visitor center, they have a magnificent stained glass exhibit there that is five panels of stained glass wide. I would guess the whole thing is maybe 5 or 6 feet high, and I'm going to guess maybe 15 to 20 feet wide. And it looks like a really good painter just took some paint and painted some images on that stained glass. What they have done, and I can't remember the name of the guy that did this, they have depicted in this stained glass 100 events in the life of Jesus Christ. And the thing that struck me was how detailed a woman's face was that was on this we'll call it a mural, or this stained glass mural. I was just amazed at how detailed it was, and I thought, well, he must have painted that, but it's stained glass. I found out that even when they do that kind of detail, he takes colored glass and grinds it down very fine and uses that to do his art. And they and a young lady there said, for example, let me show you this. And there was a depiction there. There was a time where Jesus said, you know, render to Caesar the thing that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And there's somebody there holding what looks like a coin that's been painted into this stained glass. But then she said, watch this. And she turned on the flashlight to her phone and shined it on the coin. That is an actual coin that is inside the stained glass. And it's one of the coins that's got Caesar's image on the front of it. Now, that's an example. You wouldn't know that just looking at it because it's not illuminated enough to show you the coin. But the thing is, this is a fascinating idea to create a stained glass mural that has 100 different events from somebody's life depicted in it. In this case, it's Jesus's life. And so I took pictures of it, both a picture of the entire mural and pictures, maybe five different pictures side by side as I was standing there. You can tell I'm in an airport right now because of this announcement that's being made. So I'm just going to keep talking through this. There we go. Anyway, it was a fabulous concept and a fabulous idea. So then you have other people who are here in Rome visiting this temple for various reasons. Some of the members of our church from up in Europe, from Turkey and from Frankfurt, Germany, and others, were flown down to Rome to get some training for 2 days. And they do this twice a year. So I met a few people that were doing that. And then after my time, in fact, the guy in the temple that was kind of running the show, I said hi to him, and he asked me where I'm from. I said, Washington, D.C., but originally from Utah. He said, what part of Utah? I said, Orem. He said, that's where we live. Now, what are the odds? So we talked a little bit about Orem, Utah, and that was a blast. But then the thing that really struck me is that after I came out of the temple, went back over to the visitor center, and I'm over there, there's a couple there, kind of a gray-haired couple, that come walking through, and I happen to look on the name badge of the lady, and the last name is Sheffield. S-H-E-F-F-I-E-L-D. And my memory went back to my elementary school days where there was a kid that was a year older than me. He's kind of a short kid, but a really good, energetic, athletic guy. Last name Sheffield. And her husband was standing there. He came walking over afterwards, and I said, "Hey, I noticed your wife's, your last name is Sheffield." I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Provo, Utah." I said, "Really?" I said, "I knew a guy when I was in elementary school, last name Sheffield." I said, "Did you ever go to the BYU lab school for elementary school?" He said, "Yes." He starts to smile. And I said, "This guy's name was Tyler Sheffield." And he looks at me and he says, "I'm Tyler." And here I am in Rome, Italy, talking to a buddy of mine that I went to elementary school with 60 years ago that I haven't seen since. And we start talking about, you know, name-dropping friends from elementary school and other parts of life. And turns out he's got three or four really good friends that are really good friends of mine. Now, what are the odds that you're going to have that happen? That's one of the amazing things about these temples around the world. They tend to bring families and friends together. And it's happened to me all over the world as I've gone to probably more than 100 of these places now. It just keeps happening, and I keep running into people that I have some connection with from earlier in my life, and it's a joyful event. So anyway, the spiritual part of this was great. Last night, I wanted to get something to eat. The guy at the security gate, I asked him about, there was a big mall that's right across the street from this temple complex that we have. He gave me, pulled out a little chart, a map, a one-page map. He says, "Here, take a picture of this." It has the walkway, a little map laid out, tells you how to walk over and get across the busy highways to get over to this mall. So I did that last night about 8 o'clock. I follow the map. I walk around a couple of streets and a couple of corners, and all of a sudden I'm in the parking lot of this gigantic mall, and I go inside. And my mother had told me on the phone, she said, "Make sure you get some great pizza." I said, "Okay." So I go to this mall. I go up to the food court. Find the food court, and sure enough, at some place that I have now forgotten, they have pizza the way I remembered ordering it when I was 21 and did a trip around the world after my mission, and we came to Rome. And that is that you walk into a pizza place, they have a big slat of pizza sitting there, and they take the knife, and they just start on the right-hand side and start moving the knife to the left, and they will cut the pizza when you tell them to cut it, so you get to pick how big your slice is. In this case, they basically had big rectangular slices of pizza already cut in a bunch of different assortments and flavors. I just pointed to one that looked good. He grabbed that, but then I said, "And I got to get that gelati." There was a picture of a gelati with some blackberries and strawberries and cherries on it and hot chocolate or whatever on it. And I went, "You got to give me one of those." So I got the bottled water, a gelati, and my mom ordered pizza, and I'm there at the mall by myself. I'm on this trip by myself, and I'm just having the time of my life. And I eat this pizza, and it was fabulous, drink a little water, and then it's time to dig into this gelati. And I was so enthralled with this gelati, this vanilla gelati with this fruit and chocolate stuff in it, that the chocolate, when he puts the dark chocolate in, he basically swirls it around in the cup, so that it lines the inside of the cup. And there's no way I'm going to throw that cup away and leave that chocolate there. So I'm taking my spoon as I'm working my way down to get to, you know, through the gelati to get to the fruit that he put on the bottom. I'm basically chipping off or sliding out this chocolate that's all around the inside of the cup. And I'm just having a blast with this. This is so much fun. And I devoured that and loved it. And then I walked back, checked into my room, and it was fabulous. Today I go out, I go to the temple area, I meet friends, etc. And then I'm done with that. My flight's not till 7 o'clock. I'm done with the church stuff at about 10 in the morning. I spent $90 on an Uber ride to get there from the airport, and I'm just determined to save money and take the bus system and the train system back through Rome to see a couple of things. So I put on my phone directions to the Colosseum, and I take a bus, no charge for the bus, makes about 25 stops. I then hop on the subway system. Subway system was, I think, $1.50. I get on there. It takes me, I don't know, 10 stops or something. And all of a sudden, I get off at a stop called Colosso, and whammo, I get out, and across the street is the Roman Colosseum. And there I am. You know, when in Rome, do as Romans do, right? So there I am at the Roman Colosseum, took a few shots of that, didn't really want to pay to go inside. I did that many years ago when I was here, but I wasn't really dying to do that. But I was at the Colosseum, took a few photos, and then I Googled, okay, how do I get to St. Peter's Square? The Vatican is busy right now because they're doing the conclave to pick a new pope. And the very first afternoon of meetings was yesterday at the Vatican. And here I am in Rome when everybody's all excited. And I think it's one of the reasons the flight was so full coming over here. People were coming over for the conclave and to be here when the selection of a new pope is made, which is what they're working on. So I get on the metro system or the subway system this time. I take the train and whammo, I get off. I walk about 3 or 4 blocks, and I'm in St. Peter's Square. I hang out there for 30 minutes, thought back at the time when I was there when I was 21, and that was great. And then I go on my phone and say, okay, how do I get to the airport? I end up taking the Italian train, the train system, for, again, $1.50. I get on the train, make a couple of stops, transfer once, and whammo, I'm back at the airport. Now, had I known a little more about the system, I would have used that system to get out to my place when I first arrived, and I would have saved about $85, but that's okay. So I loved just getting on the bus and driving through Rome and looking at the restaurants and all the people eating lunch outside in the little, you know, cafeterias out on the walk, the sidewalks, and the villas and the plants that are growing on these different villas. You know, a villa will have 3 or 4 levels of apartments on it. And just the scenery was fascinating, even riding on the bus. So anyway, I made it back. I made it to where I needed to go. I took the train system to get back here to the airport. And I am now here at the airport. And by God's grace and the skills of Don Newsom, we're doing the show a little early today and taping it. And I'm doing it from gate E31 in the Rome, Italy airport, talking about some of these things that we've done. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on. And I decided to pay an extra $100 for the flight going back to New York, again, about an 8-hour flight. This time, I have a front row seat in the cabin and plenty of legroom in front of me, so I'm going to really be able to stretch out. I'm on an aisle seat. I just decided to try it going home and see what I think, because I know what the cheap way to do it is and what that felt like. So now I have an aisle seat with plenty of no seats in front of me, plenty of legroom, and I think I'm just going to sleep a lot better. I think it's going to be a terrific flight going back on the Boeing 787 at 600 miles an hour. So I'm going to take a break here and for about a minute, and then we'll come back, wrap up the show, and I'll tell you more about some junk removal stuff. But please, folks, I'm telling you, make your birthday special and do something special that you will remember for years to come, and you will be glad that you did, and you can thank the Junk Refund Show for doing it. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm your host, Alan Cook.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. We are having so much fun. We are coming to you live from live and early, or earlier than our normal time. We're getting this taped, which is great. Coming to you live from Gate E31, that's Norse Airways in Rome, Italy, where I'm going to get on a plane in about 3 hours and fly at 600 miles an hour back to JFK in New York. And then about 5 hours after that, I'm going to get on a train for $35, and it's going to take me back to Washington, D.C., and I will be back in Washington at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, ready for work. I left Tuesday morning, so this will be a, 72-hour trip to Rome and back, see the Colosseum, you know, ride the transit stuff in Italy, in Rome, see our new church, relatively new church, spectacular temple that's there, go to St. Peter's Square, and just have a great time eating gelatis and pizza for the last 2 or 3 days, all because I turned 67 yesterday. So just an example of making your birthday a big deal. I'm a big fan of that and just doing it, and you'd be surprised how many strangers will start, you know, wishing you a happy birthday when they find out it's your birthday. So anyway, I want to give you, having brought you up to speed with kind of what my life has been like from a travel perspective, which is a great way to get some of what I'm going to call the static junk out of your life. And if you just haven't been on an adventure lately, get on a Boeing 787 and fly someplace. And you can thank me later, because it's a fascinating education doing that in the meantime. I can't wait to fly back tonight. Couple of things that I just wrote down. As I do this show, as things happen during the week, I make notes on a little outline, and then I go down through here. I wrote down on here, a good friend of mine named Brian called me, and he's got a guy that used to be in his church congregation in Bethesda who is now out in, I can't remember the name of the city, someplace in Tennessee, and has a car that has, I don't know, 170,000 miles on it, is an older car, is not exactly in the world's best shape, but this guy thinks that the car is worth $3,000. So he calls my buddy Brian, basically says, can you help me sell this car so I can get some money so I can go out to Los Angeles? Now, apparently this guy has three places in his life that he really likes to live. One is L.A., one is Washington, D.C., and one is a city in Tennessee that escapes my mind right now. And that's pretty much the three cities. But he can't really afford to live in any of them. And he's losing his eyesight. He's a little bit physically handicapped. And Brian called me and said, you know, what about this car? I listed this for this show because I just want to use the word realistic. When you look at the stuff that you have, you've got to be realistic if you're thinking of selling it and if you're thinking of what the value is. There are millions of people in the country who keep old cars in their driveways and their carports, and they think they're holding on to something valuable. And all that's happening is the car is getting more and more rusty and more old. And you're not making money when you have a car sitting there that is becoming in worse and worse condition day by day. So point number one in the junk removal, you know, pointers area for today's show, be realistic in the things that you're doing. Number two, recent things that we've sold. If you think you have something made of sterling silver, all you have to do is get a magnifying glass at the grocery store, look on the back of the item, and it'll either have the word sterling imprinted on it or it'll have the number 925 printed on it. Those are the two ways that you know that something is sterling silver. If it doesn't have that printed on it, it's not sterling silver, and it's worth about one-tenth what it would be if it was sterling silver. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is that we cleaned out a condo for a lady this last week, and she had two really nice sets of silverware in wooden cases that looked like sterling silver, but they weren't sterling silver. I have sold silverware sets for anywhere from $1,500 to $2,200 because they were all sterling. These two, so I thought maybe this would be another situation like that, but they were not. They looked like sterling silver. They're kind of this light gray color, kind of a dull, you know, shine, so to speak, on it. But they weren't sterling silver. They were silver plate. And the way you tell is you look on the back of it and you look for the word sterling or the number 925. If that's not there, the manufacturer's name is there, like Reed and Barton or some of these others. Sometimes it'll say stainless steel. Sometimes it'll say silver plate. Sometimes it won't say any of that, but look for sterling and look for 925. If you don't see that, you don't have the expensive stuff. Needless to say, we still sold two of these sets. They're about 90-piece sets of silverware in a nice wooden container for about, I think we sold one for like $150 and the other one for like $135, something like that. And the customer gets 35% of that. So if you have nice silverware sets, even though it's not sterling silver, you can still make some money just putting it up for sale. We used Facebook Marketplace to do that, and it worked twice. We did a job in Reston, Virginia that took us a couple of weeks. Technically, there's still a little bit more to do over there, where the guy had about 15 aluminum ladders sitting outside his garage. He is a hoarder. He collected things. He bought things at yard sales, I think, and who knows where else. And then he collected them, and they didn't get used. We sold nine of those ladders at $100 a piece. So if you have any aluminum ladders, those can make you some money. We cleaned out a storage unit for a lady and her husband, who back in COVID were involved in a boutique retail shop, and they had mannequins that I guess they displayed jewelry and shirts on. These are female mannequins. They have nine of them. I looked them up on eBay, and this kind of thing is selling for about eight or nine of them would sell for about $300. So I listed them for sale. We sold one for $35 so far. Got an offer for another one. So we're even selling clothing mannequins and giving money back. I got a real wake-up call when I listed an Atari video game console for sale and a bunch of game controllers. Man, did people jump all over that one. We sold, again, for like $100, we just sold some controllers and a video console. But that, just game controllers, video game components, those kind of things are very popular, very hot. I don't play any video games. And so I've missed that whole, you know, I've never owned a PlayStation, you know, I've never played Madden, I've never played, you know, the soccer game everybody likes to play. I haven't played the NBA stuff. I just don't spend any time on video games, but boy, there are millions of people that do. If you've got any stuff like that, you can put them up for sale and you'll probably do well. We've sold bookshelves recently. Everybody seems to need another bookshelf or two. If you have some of those, and if you have some dressers, those tend to sell pretty well, and you'll probably do well with those kind of things as long as they're in decent shape. Sometimes people have these pressed wood dressers, and they've had a lot of books or magazines on them, and so they sag, the shelves sag in the middle. And if you just stand back and look at it, you go, oh, those shelves are sagging. And because they're made of pressed wood, that's not a good thing either, because they're not going to transport well, et cetera. But as a general rule, if you have dressers that are in good shape, those should sell. We sold a tall, white, 7-foot-high bookshelf for, I think, $75 recently that came from a lady's house. We sold a small pine cabinet about 4 feet high, 1 feet deep, 3 feet wide. That sold for like $50 recently. So we've had some experience with some of those things recently that sold fairly quickly. Decent furniture where you're going to be storing stuff tends to sell pretty quick, and you should do okay. We did a job last week where we moved a pinball machine. We actually, from a lady's home to her daughter's home about 30 minutes away. We charged $300 to do it. I've decided, and I've done these before, I decided to charge $500 the next time just because of the time that it takes. But if you have a pinball machine, even if it's not working, but it's in relatively decent shape, there are lots of people that love to collect these pinball machines, and they are great to put in somebody's basement. There's a way that you take them apart. We even had to ask the lady, you know, if she had the keys to it, and she goes, I have no idea. And she went and grabbed a bunch of keys, and sure enough, a couple of the keys fit the pinball machine. There's a way to take it apart. You take off the back plate, and then the part that stands up vertically that tells you the score and stuff like that is a separate piece that is bolted to the bottom main table. If you're going to transport one of these, you need to take the main piece off, and the wires will still connect it to the bottom part. But you then lay it flat on the other piece and put some cardboard or a blanket in between the two pieces so the glass doesn't break. And that's how you do a pinball machine. But then you have to take the legs off. And you have to take the legs off so that it'll sit on its butt, basically, in the truck. And it won't be subject to tipping over if you go around a turn or something. You have to take the legs off. And these things are heavy. So in order to take the legs off, you need to pick up the machine and find some kind of a chest or a coffee table or something that is relatively strong that you can set the machine back down on that will elevate it off the floor so the legs are not touching the floor anymore. Then there's two bolts that hold those legs on. You just take a ratchet set and you undo those bolts, and pretty soon you have a pinball machine where the top part is folded down so it's not tall anymore, and the legs are off, and then that's how you transport it. So we took one of these up to a guy's house. He loved getting it. We asked him if he needed to put it back together. He said, oh, that'd be fabulous. We took a coffee table that he had and put a couple of sofa cushions from his sofa on top of the coffee table, set the pinball machine down on it, and then reattached the legs, and he is one happy camper. So keep your eye out for pinball machines. Those things can be a lot of fun. We've sold those things for hundreds of dollars on more than one occasion. So if you have access to a pinball machine, even if it doesn't perfectly work, you've still got a unique thing, and there are people out there that will pay some decent money who love to collect those. So there you go. I did something else on Monday of this week to kind of kick off my birthday. We have some guys who are great guys, about a handful of them, who over the years have worked with us on all kinds of jobs. And I took three of them out to dinner at Outback Steakhouse on Monday night, my treat for my birthday. Now, that's another thing I do. When it's my birthday, I don't look inward. I tend to look outward and celebrate it by, it's an excuse to do nice things for other people. I'll go into a scrap metal yard on my birthday, and I'll give out Krispy Kreme donuts. And I'll tell people straight up, I said, hey, today's my birthday, have a donut on me. Or have a candy bar on me, have a Snickers bar on me, or whatever. I use it as an excuse to celebrate the day. And people love that idea, and I'll always wish you happy birthday. And they love the concept that you're doing something nice for them when it's a day that you tend to think inward and get people to try to do nice things for you. We have a group text that we do with my 10 siblings. It's a pretty active group chatting thing. And so yesterday I've got all kinds of, you know, happy birthday wishes coming in. One of my seven sisters came in and said to me, she said, I hope you get treated the same way you treat other people. Now, I don't know. I'm kind of a giving kind of guy. That brings me a lot of joy. But on my birthday, I got two separate $50 gift cards from two of my brothers. Now, we don't give gifts back and forth on our siblings' birthdays. We just chime in on the text and, you know, say hi to each other. But I've had two $50 gift cards to the Cheesecake Factory given to me by my brothers for my birthday. And I guess it's coming off me doing a family March Madness pool in March and April where I send out increasingly large quantities of M&Ms to the 30 family members who participated in it. So in the last 2 weeks, a bunch of M&Ms, maybe about a dozen boxes of M&Ms, meaning a box full of hundreds of M&Ms and M&M packages, and, you know, I've sent out around the country to family members as the reward for guessing wins in each of the different rounds of the NCAA tournament. Maybe it's because I just sent a bunch of M&Ms out to people, I don't know. But I was really tickled that a couple of my brothers sent me $50 gift cards to the Cheesecake Factory. And I just thought that was really cool. If you win we call it Bimmer's Bombers, I was named after my brother. If you win that tournament, that pool, you get a bunch of stuff, including a $100 gift card to the Cheesecake Factory. Second place gets a $50 one, third place gets $25. So I've been doing that for years, sending these out to the winners of this. And lo and behold, you know, what goes around comes around, and I now have $100 of gift cards to the Cheesecake Factory in my name sent to me for my birthday by a couple of my stud brothers. So it pays to do some nice things. I'm not going to tell you, since I told you today about Rome, I won't tell you much about my trip to Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. That happened about a week ago. But I'll double check to see the archives and see if I talked about that. And if not, I'll give you a little info on what it's like to travel into Mexico, as I today have done, giving you a little info about what it's like to travel to Rome. So it's the best time in the history of the world to live. It is a very small world these days, and you can get around it very quickly and economically if you just know how to do it. And it will put an extra bounce in your step, and you'll feel fabulous, and the experiences you have along the way are going to make your life even better. And if on this show we can do one thing that helps make your life better, then we've gotten some of the kind of static junk out of your life and made your life more exciting. And that's one of the things we're trying to do in addition to getting the stuff out of your garages and out of your living rooms. Thanks for listening. It's been a joy doing the show from Rome, Italy. Thanks again to our producer, Don Newsom, at bbsradio.com for all the good work that he does. And I'm going to actually now eat some pizza and drink some lemonade that I bought just before I started recording the show as I just wait to board a Boeing 787 and fly back to New York City tonight, going 600 miles an hour over the Atlantic Ocean. Take care. We'll see you next week on the Junk Refund Show. Thanks for listening. And just have a great life, because I am. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life, using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800 Junk Refund, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.